the children can exit the room with gladness and much joy. And I was told to remind you, if you do have your device out, to silence that sucker so that it doesn't give us an alarm about 12 o'clock. My stomach alarms me soon enough that it's close to quitting time. But anyway, please silence your phones this morning. Psalms 100 says this, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity once again to stand behind this sacred desk, to bring forth the bread of life, to break it with these people. I pray, Lord, that we will take what we hear today, apply it to our lives, and bless you with our service. Bless now, God, our time together, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps you have become accustomed to your blessings. Maybe you have so many of them that it's just become so commonplace in your life that you just don't notice them much anymore, and you fail to give God the praise and the thanks, the glory that he deserves. Maybe we just need reminded today as we approach Thanksgiving that there are some things that we really need to be truly thankful for. And so that's what we're going to try to do today. Psalms 100 is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. And we can find in this seven things in these verses, 3 through 5, in which Christians can truly be thankful for. And so we want to go through that with you today for just a few moments, some things that we as Christians can be thankful for. And I'm sure that there'll be other things that you can think of. I used to when I sit out, even when I still today, when I listening to sermons, someone else preach, I've always been like this, but I can think of other things that can be said sometime and applications to my own life as they're talking, you know, the things, well, that's, you could have said this and it would have really, you know, so I'm sure you do the same thing. You can find other applications. Don't totally tune me out though as you're trying to find your own application of the Word of God. Okay, listen up, okay? Work with me here. Number one that we want to talk about today in verse 3, it says, "The Lord is God." The Lord is God. Know ye not that the Lord is God? He is God. In other lands, and even in the United States of America, people worship other gods. We know that. It's all around the world. There's different gods. There's God. They don't worship the true and living God there, but God is God. There's no other God except him. Now, there's a lot of idols and there's a lot of things that people set up as gods. Even you can make sports a god. You can make your spouse a god. You can make your children a god. You can make all kinds of things gods. Things that you put before God can become a god to you. But Psalms 115, verses 4 and 5 says this, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see." And so there are idols, and you know, you've seen people in the old days, in the biblical times, they had little idols, and they'd set them on their shelf, and they would worship them. They had eyes they couldn't see. They had mouths they couldn't speak. They had ears and they couldn't hear. But our God has a mouth that can speak, eyes that can see, ears that can hear everything that we say, see everything we do. And so we have a real living God. Idols are dead. Those that worship them are spiritually dead. But today our God is a true and living God and very much alive. Our God is alive. Amen. Psalms 115:3 says, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." He's a real God. He's the maker of the heavens and the earth. He's the one that created you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says. Isaiah 42 verse 8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name and my glory. I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. I am God. And I know a lot of people give praise to a lot of things, and they give honor to a lot of things. And there's nothing wrong to give it honor where honor's due and praise where praise is due when people do things. But nothing can take the place of God. And as good as I might have been to you, I've been great to you, I know. As good as I might have been to you as your pastor, I'm not God. I'll never... Who's back there giggling already and is making fun of me? I'm not God. I can't do for you what God can do. I don't know what you do all the time. I can't see it all. I don't know. I really sometimes don't care. But God does. You know, God doesn't get as weary as I might get. If you come to me with as often as you come to him with some of your problems and cares that you could take care of yourself if you just not wasn't so lazy to do it, I'd get weary, man. I'd probably get plumb grumpy with you. Fact is, I have before. I've gotten weary and I've been grumpy with you. But God don't. God cares. Now, he may chastise us once in a while. He may do something to get our attention, but God loves you and cares. And so he's a real God. But he says here, I don't give my glory to anybody. We ought to give him glory today. He's our God. He has saved us. Why should we be thankful to the Lord? Well, he answers prayers. It's he that answers prayers. It's he that protects us. It's him that forgives and gives us eternal life through his son. It's he that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's him that sticks closer than a brother, Jesus said. It's the Lord our God that protects us, watches over us, meets our every need. Our God's an awesome God, a real living God. No matter what goes wrong in your life today, God is still God. He's still God. And so, no matter who's in the White House, no matter who's in control of the governor's mansion or the Senate or the House of Representatives, the Lord is still God, even if Nancy Pelosi is voted back in as Speaker of the House. Right? God's still God. That's the whole point of what's saying that. Not because I want to be political this day. I really don't want to be. But no matter who's in control of our government, God's still God. He sets kings in high places. He's the one that causes them to rise into their position. He's the one that takes them out of their position. It's God. And everything's lining up to the will of God, whether we realize it or not. This world is winding down quickly. But God's God. And God's not surprised by anything that's going on. No matter how you feel, the Lord's God. He's always in control. He is sovereign. Nothing gets by him, and nothing takes him by surprise. Nothing. You might have been surprised this week by some happenings in your life, but God wasn't. You may have been a little bit dismayed about some things that happened this week, but God wasn't. God's God. He's still in control. He's still an awesome God. He's still a prayer answering God, a miracle working God, a saving God, a God of grace and full of glory. He's still God. Regardless of how bad you took it this week, he's still God. Might as well trust him. And so he's God. And then secondly, he's the creator. The Lord is creator. It says that in verse 3. He says, know the Lord is good. He is he that made us and not ourself. He made us, not ourselves. I didn't make me. He made me. Mom and daddy had a hand in it, but God made me. I have to come to that conclusion after 65 years of age. And I know I'm aged guy to some of you. The ancient of days up here. Unless you compare me to a couple others in the congregation today. See, God's God, and he created us. I come to the conclusion a long time ago, and I still work on this. Oh, he made my personality the way it is. I don't understand it. And some of y'all don't like it. I don't like me sometimes. I can't help the way I am. That's the way God made me. He knew that. He says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You know? What's your problem? Why you got a problem with me? God made me this way. I tried to change a few times. I got worse. So I just have to live with who I am, you know. I figured if my wife can handle it, I ought to be able to. She lives with me. Some of y'all say, you ought to say, oh, bless that woman's heart. You see, though, it's God that made us, not ourselves. God made us. He made us, not ourselves. My life is full of obligations, and so is yours. We have lots of obligation. But my biggest obligation is to God. He made me. He's my creator. My biggest obligation is to Him. One of the reasons that I'm obligated to give thanks to God is because He's the one who's given me life. He's my creator. He gave me life. My life is in His hands today. He could take my life. He could take snuff me out any moment. He can take my life. My life is His. And we've strived for the last many, many years to live for God, to serve Him. We've failed miserably at times, but we've tried to serve God, tried to be faithful to God, tried to uphold righteousness and eschew evil. We've tried to be what God has asked us to be. We've tried to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Why? Because I am thankful to God. I'm grateful to Him for the life He has given me through His Son, Jesus Christ. I owe Him everything, not just my existence, but my spiritual existence belongs to God and is because of God. So I owe Him everything. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my wonderful God who created me. Not just physically, but spiritually created me. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made in His likeness and His image, and He made me. So I am so glad I'm here as a human body, and I'm such a marvelous creation. And so are you. So are you. That's the whole point of this saying that we're all marvelous creations. In Psalms 139:14, states that I will praise Thee, who? God. Because I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth, and that my soul knoweth right well. Do you get that whole context of that scripture? You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are God's works. What works is He talking about? The human beings that He has made. Marvelous is His works. Each of you are marvelous in His sight today. And it says, and that my soul knoweth right well. My soul understands that. My soul recognizes that I'm fearfully, wonderfully made, and that is marvelous in the sight of God. What He has made me. Each of us are made different. We're made different in that we are different individuals, different personalities. Wouldn't life be boring if we all thought the same things and all liked the same colors and all drove the same car? You know, cut our hair the same way. You know, it'd be terrible, wouldn't it? I guess we'd be so used to it, we wouldn't realize how mundane and boring it was. But we're all different. All different. You know, Abigail can go from curly hair to straight just overnight. With bangs. But if she don't watch herself, she'd be curly with no bangs tomorrow. But she's fearfully and wonderfully made, and God made her that way. He gave you your curly hair, your beautiful curly hair. That's different from everyone with straight hair. You understand what I'm saying? Leave your hair alone. No, she's fearfully and wonderfully made. All of us are. We're all distinct individuals that God loves dearly. So we should be thankful because He's our God. He's our God. Thirdly, He's our Father. Verse 3, it says, and not we ourselves, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And we'll talk about that probably a little bit too, but He is our God. He is our Father, and we are His people. When this psalm was written, it was the children of Israel who could say, we are His people. Today, God's people are those who are His children, those who have been born again, those who are part of the church. We're His people. We're His children. He's our Father. We have a right to come boldly to the throne of grace, calling out to Him, Abba, Father. We have a right to petition Him with our needs because He's our Father. But you see, mankind has been alienated from God. Not everyone has a Father in heaven. Many people say they believe in God. We even have celebrities and sports celebrities that will stand when they receive an award and say, oh, I thank God for this award, but they have no knowledge of a real God. And we think, oh, they must be a Christian. They just gave Jesus, or they'll say, I thank Jesus, and you know, one famous entertainer said, Jesus, take the wheel, you know, but I'm not sure she's let Him take the wheel yet, and some of you, it's Carrie Underwood. And, well, somebody's asking, well, who in the world is he talking about now? I guess I'm plumb out of date here. But they give God praise and they give God glory, but then they go out and live just like they've always lived and act like they've always acted. And there's no change in their the way that they live and the things that they do. They're still living unrighteous. And then they call you and I hypocrites? Come on now. Because sometimes we falter and we fall, but yet we come to church every Sunday and we give God praise and we give God glory and we repent of our sins and, you know, our unrighteousness, unrighteous acts that we might have done. And but yet they never repent, but yet they call the world will call you a hypocrite. I think that's a height of hypocrisy to give God glory when you're not living for Him. And act like God, you know, God did give him the talent. He does deserve the glory, but you understand why my point there is this. He's not their Father. He's our Father. Why? Because we were born again. But Isaiah 64:6 says this, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness is as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Romans 3:10 simply says this, and is written, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So when they stand and they give God praise, they are still unclean. And their righteousness is as filthy rags because they've never been born again. They've never acknowledged their sin. But God sent His love. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay for our sins. I'm certainly glad that I was born again. Man, I can't imagine what my life would have been without Jesus. I can't imagine the degradation, the depths of sin I might have waded out into without Christ. I can't imagine how my children might have turned out if I hadn't known Jesus. Come on now. I just don't know how they might have turned out. I just don't know for sure. They may have all been born again. I don't know. They may have all been praying for daddy to get saved. I'm not sure of that, though. They may have all been as lost could be. But you see, I'm glad I got saved. 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4 says this, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I received. This is Paul talking, how Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to Scriptures. Paul says this is how you get saved. Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the dead, and He was buried. He rose up again on the third day, and He died for our sins. Jesus told a man named Nicodemus in John 3:3, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So He's my Father because I was born again. I was first born into an earthly family. So were you. We were born into an earthly family. You need to be born again the second time into a heavenly family. Lest you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And you are born into the family of God when you place your full faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm certainly glad you were born again. I'm really glad I was born again. Well, that's self-serving, preacher. Well, I'm glad for me. Would you think I'd be sad that I got saved? Some people are. They act like it. Can't have no fun being a Christian. Everybody else has all the fun. Well, I beg your pardon. We still have a lot of fun being a Christian, and we know we're going to heaven when we get through having our fun. John 1:12 says, "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Why were you saved? Because it was the will of God. Because Jesus came and gave his life for you. That's why you are saved. You don't get saved because you got up one day and decided you was going to get saved. You got saved because God sent his son, Jesus Christ. It was the will of God to save you. It was his will. It says it right there. He gave power, but as many as that received him. To them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of the will of God. God wants you to be saved. Romans 8:16 says, "For the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." I'm the son of God. You're the son of God. You're the daughters of God, son and daughters of God. We are children of God today. He is our heavenly Father. Aren't you? That's so much to be thankful for. That's the whole point of this whole sermon. What are we thankful for? I'm thankful I've been born again. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Amen. That's what. So, Christian, your Father loves you. Your Heavenly Father hears your prayer. He corrects you. He protects you. He's looking out for you. That's another reason to be truly thankful. He is your Father in heaven. He's just like, man, when you were kids and your mom and dad, they looked out for you, didn't they? Most of you? I mean, you know, they watched out for you. If you started to do something you shouldn't do, they corrected you. They stopped you. They looked out for you. They prevented you from getting into trouble or prevented you from doing something you didn't know was you shouldn't do. Sort of like, you know, tell you not to touch that fire. It'll burn you. How many of y'all was told that and had to try it anyway? Eric, yeah, that was me. Oh, Eric, one time he was told not to jump off a cliff, and he did. It wasn't a cliff, but it was up top of a two-story building, well, off the second floor at the gym in town. And oh, Eric, he's up there playing, and I think we're still working on it, wasn't we, at the time? Or we probably finished with it, but didn't have no barrier up. Just had a small barrier and where people could look over into the gym floor, and Eric had to jump off that sucker. He suffered for that for a while, didn't you? I still suffer from it some, I'm not sure. So he learned his lesson the hard way. Somebody, Eric, don't jump off of that. Okay, it's as high as that in back there, see? He jumped off something like that. He was about 10, 12 years old. I remember him jumping off of it. I thought, well, that Joe and Janice ain't raising that boy right. I actually thought, now we know, what's that, one brick shy of a full load? Elevator don't go all the way to the top, you know, all that stuff. That's Eric. I'm just kidding, Eric, you know that. But our parents look out for us. And if Janice had been there or Joe had been there and they could have got a hold of him, I mean, if they'd have dove off of there to prevent him from falling off, jumping off of there, they'd done anything in their power to stop it, but they weren't around, so he did it. Try things, don't we? But our Heavenly Father loves us anyway. We have so much to be thankful for. Thirdly, Jesus is our shepherd. Or fourthly, wherever I'm at, whatever point I'm on, I don't have them written down. In verse 3, Jesus is our shepherd. We are the people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Remember, our God is a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's a triune God. He's our Father and Jesus is our Savior. And when we accept Jesus as our Savior, he becomes our shepherd. Today, I stand before you as the under-shepherd to the chief shepherd. He's given me a small flock to look over for a period of time, period of years. And I'm the under-shepherd to the chief shepherd, but Jesus is the real shepherd. Shepherd. And so he is our shepherd today. Jesus said this about himself in John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's our good shepherd who gives his life for us. What is the job of the shepherd? The job of the shepherd is to take care of the sheep. And that's exactly what Jesus, the good shepherd, does. A shepherd feeds the flock. A shepherd waters the flock. A shepherd protects the flock. The shepherd leads the flock to shelter. He just looks after the flock. He makes sure they have their needs met. And that's what our good shepherd does for us. He makes sure we have our needs met today. And if you've served Christ for any length of time and Him as your good shepherd, you recognize the fact that He leads you beside still water. He restores your soul. He brings you to pastures that are green. He gives you good things to eat. He watches over you. He meets your need. He shelters you. He protects you. He's a shepherd that watches over you in every area, every aspect of your life. Sometimes He takes His rod of correction and corrects you. Sometimes He takes His staff and guides you back into proper position in His body. But God as the shepherd, Jesus as the shepherd, watches over His sheep. And see, Jesus said this about His sheep in John 10 verses 27 and 28. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. And if you really want a good depiction or good description of the good shepherd or Jesus' activity as the good shepherd, after a while, why don't you open your Bibles one more time to Psalms 23 and read about the shepherd. And read about the Jesus as the shepherd. And so you can find that in Psalms 23. And He is our shepherd today. And I'm glad that He watches over you and I. I'm glad that I can hear His voice. I'm glad He gave me eternal life that I would not perish. I'm glad that He supplies all of my need according to His riches and glory. I'm glad that God watches over me in every aspect of my life and of your lives today. He is the good shepherd. We ought to be thankful. We forget who He is. We go through life and we have our difficulties and we have our problems and we have our very grave situations and we face death and we face things that we'd just rather not face. And sometimes we get overwhelmed with the problems and overwhelmed with the situations. And it just seems like God's nowhere in existence. That's when you need to call on Him and depend on Him the most and realize that He's there. He's there in the midst of the trial. He's right there for you. And you need to understand that today. Stop thinking that God is abandoning you every time you go through a problem. He's not. It's sort of like the picture that used to hang on a lot of people's wall, footprints in the sand. You've seen that, haven't you? The footprints in the sand. And the person is questioning Jesus, why? I see where there's two footprints when I was going through some good times, but then all of a sudden I hit a bad time in my life, and now all I saw was one set of footprints, and I want to know where you went. He said, that's when, son, I picked you up, and I was carrying you. And so you need to understand, no matter what you're going through today, no matter what you might face tomorrow, that when you face that, Jesus is either by your side, or He's picked you up, and He's carrying you through that problem and through that situation. He's taking you back to the mountaintop, if you would, getting you to a place that you can walk and stand on your own one again, because He is the good shepherd. And He is. And so, whatever I'm at, 5 or 4, 6, 8, the Lord is good. In verse 5 it says, for the Lord is good. You see, you have a home in heaven prepared for you. The Lord is good. You receive an answer to prayer. The Lord is good. You get a pay raise. The Lord is good. Oh, everybody thinks a pay raise is an exceptionally good thing, don't you? Well, you ought to praise Him when you're broke. A friend finds Christ as their Savior. The Lord is good. You have a faithful and loving husband or wife. The Lord is good. You have great parents or kids and grandkids. The Lord is good. You lose your job. The Lord's still good. You're sick. The Lord is good. You lose a loved one. The Lord is good. Your spouse divorces you. Your parents and children despise you. The Lord is still good. The Lord is good no matter what happens to you. It doesn't matter. The Lord's still good. You don't know the problems I've seen. Well, I don't care what you've seen. God does not stop being good because you reached a place in your life that you don't recognize Him. He's still good. I don't care what you're going through. He's still good. He doesn't stop working all things together for your good in your lives, even the bad things. He's still good. Romans 8:28 says, and we know all that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to them who are called according to His purposes. He is good. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. He's our God today. Not everybody can say that. Not everyone is a Christian, so not everyone can say that God is good. But if you're a Christian today, I don't know why you would ever even begin to think that God's not good and that God doesn't love you. I'm going to show you in just a couple of minutes how good God is. What are you talking about? I'm going to let you out early. Maybe. And lastly, the Lord's truth or His faithfulness endures to every generation. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. This word truth here can be interpreted, as I said, as faithfulness and translated as faithfulness. The word carries the idea of steadiness or a steadiness of firmness. God is faithful to every generation that trusts Him. Now, as a Christian, as your pastor and as a Christian for a few years, 45 years or so, faithfully serving the Lord, you bragging now. I'm gonna try to tell you something. My parents were Christians. That's a generation. My grandparents on my mama's side were Christians. Before that, I don't think so. Because my great-granddaddy was a barkeep in Keokuk Falls, Oklahoma. But my grandfather got saved. Married a woman. She got saved. Raised up a family of, I don't know how many kids. I'd have to stop and count them now. And 8 children. And to best of my knowledge, they were all Christians. But I'm just speaking of my family. My grandfather, Davis, was a Christian. My grandmother, Julia, was a Christian. My mama was a Christian. My daddy got saved in 1963. He lived a Christian life. Think about it. He raised up 4 children. We're all Christians today. 3 of us are preachers and the other one's running from it still at 60 years old. But he ministers when he can. Think about it. I've got 3 kids. I'm talking about generations. All 3 of my children are saved in church this morning. Their children are in church today, and they're all Christians. Grandpa Davis, 1 generation. Mom and Daddy, 2nd generation. Dennis and Willeen, 3rd generation. Melissa and Stephen, 4th generation. Haley and Caleb, 5th generation. 5 generations serving the Lord this morning. Now, I know those little girls, they ain't got saved yet. But they will, won't they, Margie? Won't they, Margie? Okay. Well, 2 agree, 2 or 3 agree touching anything, it shall be done. I'm telling you, those 2 are little rascals. Nah, they're good kids. Because they're ours, right, Margie? They're ours. They're all of ours. 5 generations. And I'm not telling you, I'm not saying anything bad against you. Don't take that way. Well, our family's not been saved. I'm telling you, if my Grandpa Davis hadn't got saved, begin serving the Lord, my mama probably wouldn't have been a Christian. If my mama wasn't a Christian when she and then married my daddy probably wouldn't got saved because most of his family at that point were not Christians. A lot of them have come to the Lord since then. Okay, they're more saved, more Christians in my daddy's side now than there ever than I ever remember being Christian. God made a change. You understand what I'm saying? To every generation. He is faithful to every generation. His love endures to every generation. There's hope for every generation because Jesus died for every generation. So if your family's not saved today, hang in there. Keep the faith. Believe Jesus for your family, for that generation, for your spouse, your mom and daddy, for your children. Believe God for it. He's faithful. Here's what he says in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, passed by before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin for thousands. Upon generation to generation, he is faithful. And then Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So he is faithful to every generation who will trust him. Hang in there. Trust God. Sometimes we get concerned for our children and our grandchildren because of the wickedness and the danger in our society. Wife and I talk about it every now and then. I'm glad I raised my child. Sometimes I wish I'd been born a generation before. You know? But yet, our children, we've got our children raised, and I'm glad I'm not raising children now. So we pray for you, young folks that are still raising your children in this generation, in this time that we are living in, because it seems to us that wickedness is increasing and there's danger lurking everywhere. And it wasn't, I mean, years ago, Sister Christina, you're a school teacher. We never dreamed of stabbing somebody at school or going to a friend's house and shooting them or things of that nature. But now, it seems like it's something like that every day somewhere in our nation. We didn't have that. We had opportunity to smoke some weed and do a little drugs if we wanted to and drink and do things we shouldn't do. But the wickedness was not as prevalent. And I come through the 60s, y'all. You know. Talking about that generation. People try to put us down. Yeah, y'all knew that's coming, didn't you? Just because we get around. Hey, it's bad, but it's gotten worse. But God is still faithful. God is still faithful. So pray a hedge of protection around your children. Your grandchildren. Believe God's going to deliver them from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence around us. Believe God for victory. And I believe he's going to give it to you, don't you? I believe God has given his promise that he'll be faithful to the next generation of believers as he has been faithful to this generation and the generations past. I believe God's still faithful. Amen? Amen. So, 7 reasons to be truly thankful found in this psalm today. The Lord is God. The Lord is Creator. God is our Father. Jesus is our Shepherd. The Lord is good. The Lord's mercy is everlasting. And the Lord's truth endures to every generation. Aren't you glad for God today? Why don't you just stand and give him praise in the house? Why don't you just bless his name and just let him know how much you appreciate him this morning? Come on, church, raise your hand. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. Don't be backward here. Just give God praise. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I bless you. I thank you for your blessing that you have blessed me with. I thank you, Lord God, today that you are God. I thank you, Lord, today that you are my creator. I thank you today, Lord, that you are my father. I thank you, Jesus, that you are my shepherd. I thank you, Father, that you are good. I thank you, Lord, that your mercy is everlasting. I thank you, Lord, that your truth endures to every generation. I thank you, Lord, that there is a move of the mighty power of God and the Spirit of God at Countryside Church. I thank you, Lord, that there is a spirit of thankfulness going through this, just running through this congregation as never, ever before. Lord, we are not going to become so accustomed to our blessings that we fail to recognize that you are continually blessing us, that we have so much to be thankful for. God, I'm going to praise you in the good time when I'm on the mountain, and I'm going to praise you, Lord, when things are not going my way and I'm walking through the valley. I'm going to praise you, Lord, when there's rocks in my path, and I'm going to praise you when there's smooth going. God, I'm going to give you praise when I feel good, and I'm going to praise you when I can't hardly lift my voice. I'm going to raise my hands when I feel like it, and I'm going to raise my hands when I can't hardly get them above my shoulders. I'm going to praise you, God, when the car is running good, and I'm going to praise you when it won't get out of the drive. I'm going to praise you, God, and regardless of what goes on in my life, I have so much to thank you for. I bless you today, Father. I magnify your name. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, everything within me, I bless you today. I bless you today. I bless you today. You are God, and there is no God like our God today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, today that you have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a voice to speak. I thank you, Lord, that you hear me when I cry, you see me when I falter, and you listen to me. Lord, every time that I cry out your name, you are attentive to my needs. I thank you, Father, that I am wonderfully and fearfully made. I thank you, Lord, that my needs are met. I thank you, Father, that I had food on my table this morning. I thank you, Lord, that I'm going to eat a bountiful meal this afternoon. I thank you, God, that when I get up in the morning, it's going to be a good day. I bless you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I have so much to thank you, Lord, Lord. I thank you, Lord, today that I was born and raised in the United States of America. I thank you, Lord, for the men and women who have sacrificially given their lives that I could walk, be free today, that I'm free, Lord, to express myself behind a pulpit and worship you in spirit and in truth. I thank you, Father, for those people. I thank you, Lord, for people that dared stand behind a pulpit and say, thus saith the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the preachers that have been raised up throughout the generation to proclaim, thus saith the Lord. I thank you, Father, for the Spirit of the Lord that still moves today, for the Holy Spirit that's moving in our lives today. Thank you, Father, that I am your vessel, a chosen vessel, a royal priesthood today. Thank you, Father, Abba, Father, that I can call on you. Bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I bless you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, today, and I just pray this as a way of prayer request to you, Father, today. I pray, Lord, that every wayward child of every individual in this congregation today will come home. Father, that they'll recognize the error of their way and they'll come to the throne of grace to receive their help, to receive salvation, and there will be a correction in the way that they live and the way that they think this morning. I bless you for that, Lord, and I magnify you. I'm grateful, Lord, that you have heard our prayer. Hallelujah. Touch those that are sick today in body, Lord. Strengthen them. Encourage those who are downhearted and downtrodden this morning. Those who are bearing up under a heavy load today because of sickness in their family. God, I pray today that you would encourage them in their spirit and give them strength in their bodies to endure whatever it is that they must endure while they're going through this challenge. Praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Great is the Lord. Come on, give him a hand clap of praise. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.